Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Good morning. Thanks everyone for being here. This is just a first part of a two-part series in terms of prayer and deepening your personal prayer life. And I guess before we kind of get underway, just wanted to ask this one simple question out of our worship time. What I felt led to was why are you here? Why have you chosen to do this stream? Why have you placed this as an important thing? And so I guess the question is why are you here? What has made you choose this, and what are you looking to get out of it? And secondly, why do we pray? The aim of this series is to help us have a greater desire to and experience in our own personal prayer life by hopefully deepening our understanding of our position in God and our approach to prayer with purpose. Prayer has been a stronghold and a foundational aspect of Compass Church from its very roots and from its very beginnings. It started off with a group of people just seeking God in prayer as to what he wanted for out of Compass Church and for this community. So prayer is held in strong regard here, and it's one of the reasons why it's one of the streams that we have today. So before we get any further, let me do something novel and just pray. I'd like to make this a bit interactive to you and just kind of ask out there, what is prayer? Why do you pray? Don't all shout at once. Someone touched on prayer being conversation, and that exactly is prayer for me, and encompasses all those other things of being able to go to God, being to hear from God, and it is a conversation. It's the part of our relationship with God where we get to converse with him and be in communion with him. From the very beginning, we are made to be in relationship not only with each other, but God first and foremost, and prayer is an outworking of that relationship, in that it is our conversation with him. We see it all throughout scripture. From the very moment God created man, we have been in conversation and communion with him. You know, our first experience that we see in scripture is God in the garden with Adam and Eve, and that's, he was with them in the garden. He was physically there with them. Scripture says that he walked in the garden in Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve have eaten from the tree that they were not supposed to, and it says God walked in the garden and he looked for them, and that's when we find Adam and Eve, you know, talking with God and explaining this events that took place. We see that continued conversation with God the Father through the Psalms and the prophets, the Psalms in David, and in his constant conversation with God and his battles. And we see it in the prophets as people who declared God's voice to the people, but also was in conversation with God on behalf of the people. We see prayer exampled in Jesus' very own life, and that's one of the main reasons why we hold prayer in such high regard, is because Jesus exampled it to us. We see in Matthew 6, 9-13, when the disciples asked Jesus not how they should do miracles, but how should they pray, and Jesus gave them the example of the Lord's Prayer. In terms of Jesus and prayer, we see throughout the Gospels accounts of how and when Jesus prayed, as he exampled us his prayer life, and one which he often did by withdrawing to quiet places. It says it in Luke 5:16 that Jesus chose to withdraw to the lonely place and just be by himself. And Jesus himself valued a personal, private prayer life. Now, if you go a little bit before in that Matthew 6 chapter, in verse 6, it says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And that was in Tim Keller, which one of the podcast resources that I'll refer to a bit in this, and in this time, he points out to the fact that it's when Jesus is speaking here, he's speaking about people who are hypocrites, and when he touches on prayer, he says, it's one of the highlights of those people at that, and that he's referring to that who are hypocrites, that their prayer life is great on the outside, and when they seem like they should be praying, or in moments in a corporate sense that they should be praying, they're great, but it's in the secret place, it's in the hidden places that Jesus is highlighting. See, what are we doing when we're not seen in our own personal prayer life? And I think it's prayer is such a paradox. On the one hand, we have God, who is the creator of all things, God of the universe, who is seated on the throne in all his splendor, and yet we have God our Father. Jesus' own words, when he was addressing the disciples on how they should pray, his very first words were, "Our Father in heaven." And we're called to address God as our Father. If we're in Christ, then we can we have that position, which we'll explore a little bit later on. And it's such a great tension that we have between God the Creator and God the Father. It highlights to us who we're in conversation with. Revelation 4:11, when it's describing God on his throne in all his splendor, and all creation standing around him, these are the words that the creation worships God with. It says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have all their being." This is the God that we have the privilege of being in conversation with, and who's made a way for us to be in conversation with him. Our Old Testament times, you would have to gone through a whole bunch of rituals and sacrifices just to approach God, because God, it's who is holy, can't have anything that's unholy in his sight. It's what took place in the garden when humanity chose to take some things into its own hands and not listen to God. That very connection, very real communion that we had with God was disrupted. And so in order to get back into communion with him, have that relationship with him, we had to go through a whole bunch of rituals and sacrifices. And thank God we don't have to do that anymore, because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, that he is the ultimate sacrifice, and he's paid the price for us so that we can just even now stop and be in conversation with God. And yet we have this tension. And Tim Keller explains this tension a little bit, and he says that it's hard for us, or we won't fully understand the privilege that we have and how magnificent this privilege that we have is until we're outraged by it. In the Western world, we seem to grasp this idea of being sons and daughters of God, and we take it on, it's a nice thing to hear. But Tim Keller speaks about it at the time, but also, you know, a lot of other religions, the idea of being able to call the very one who you see as your creator and the one who created all things and who's all-powerful and all-knowing and so great and holy, to be able to call that very being your father, to be able to call God father, is just so outrageous and so offensive. And yet Paul, in his writings in Romans, which we'll go to very soon, in Romans 8, he uses the term Abba, Father. And at a time, it would have been just so offensive. Like, how dare you call God Father? And yet, that's the privilege that we step into. That is the privilege we've been brought into. And we'll explore that a little bit in a little bit. But before that, it's great to see the intimacy that we can have with God, and that the intimacy that God calls us to have with Him. And if you turn to James 4:7-8, it says the following: submit yourself then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. So that's the desire of God our Father, is that not only is he calling us to come near to him, but it says that he will draw near to us when we submit to him. It's just mind-blowing that the creator of the universe, the one who is the beginning and the end, who's seated on the throne, who holds everything in his hands, not only wants us to draw near to him, but he says that he will draw near to us. And it's hard to understand the magnitude of that, as Tim Keller says, until we see the outrageous nature of it first. Okay, great. Oh, I should have taken note of time. Excuse me. Romans 8, 15 to 30 says the following: the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. For the sake of time, I'll let you read. You can read the rest. So it's 15 to 30. I'll let you read the rest in your own time. But that's where I'd like to stop. First, the end of verse 15 says, this very short sentence, the last sentence, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Tim Keller unpacks a little bit, and I'm just acknowledging what he's unpacked and what he's done, and what I'm taking, I guess, a little bit from him. Out of that passage, there's five key things that Tim Keller points out about prayer. He says prayer is primal, prayer is a real, it's positional, it's experiential, and it's communal. The two things I'd like to kind of touch on a little bit is about prayer being primal, which I've done a little bit already, and about prayer being positional. And that's what today's about, is understanding our position in God and who we are under God. And that opening up and deepening our prayer life. Primal in the sense that, like I spoke, chatted about before, in that it's that very infant-like, the early stages of life, how we see our parents, that what desire to be just around, the image he uses, just around the father's neck, in his face, all over it, just wanting to be here, not over there until we want something, but wanting to be here just for the pure fact of being near the Father's face. Hands around the neck. Your very being right next to His. That's what Keegan, my 9-month-old, still does. Thank God. Reuben, not so much. But yeah, it is that sense of just, and that's what God wants from us. He wants to be able to have us here and our face here so that we can hear His very heartbeat, so we can feel His very heartbeat. And that second one is about prayer being positional. So Romans, sentence says, and by Him, so by the Spirit, we cry. It's not just we talk, but we cry. We let everything out. And when we cry, we let our emotions out. It's a lot more than just conversation in the corridor as we're passing by on the street, as we're passing by. It's more than just a, hey, how you going? It's when crying comes into it, it's about, how are you doing? What's really going on? But it's also being able to stop and hear about what the other person's saying. Because when we cry in front of someone, we're that emotional, we value the person's input into our lives enough too. And by Him we cry, and it's these two words that explains and holds the idea of position. It's Abba, Father. And the position that conveys is that we're sons and daughters of the living God, that we're heirs, that there's an inheritance, that there's so much more than us and God, but it's us and God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And how close He has brought us to, that we can call Him our Heavenly Father. That we can call Him Abba Father. That it's not, Tim Keller says, it's not like Daddy. It's not like Dad. But a lot of the times it's Dada. It's just the word that comes out of a child. Dada, Dada, Dada. And that we have an inheritance because of the sonship or daughtership that we've been brought into. That we don't have to earn anything. And that's what he talks about, being outrageous. That we have everything that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has. We are seen as that we're seen as holy, that we're seen as righteous, that we can be in His presence without having to do anything else because Christ has made us holy through the cross. We are seen as holy because of Christ. We are seen as righteous because of the cross and its saving work. And through that, we can be here, not here. We don't have to walk through it. 10 different steps. We don't have to prepare ourselves, do things before we can just sit and be with God. We can come as we are because God sees beyond how we see ourselves. And when we can see that, when we can understand that, then our prayer life or our conversation with our Heavenly Father becomes that. It becomes a conversation. David in his Psalms, for me, portrayed it the best from someone other than Jesus, in that the Psalms contain everything of his very emotion. He poured his heart out in the Psalms. No matter where he was, he spoke with God and he was in constant conversation with him, letting him know how happy he was, letting him know how hard things were going, letting him know, God, if you don't come through, I'm going to die here. Letting him know, I don't know where you are, God, but I'm still going to come to you. I'm still going to trust in you. Psalm 13, it's one of my favorite psalms. It talks, David says, My God, where are you? I search for you, but I can't see you. My enemy surrounds me, and death entangles me. And the turning verse is, but I will trust in your unfailing love. I will remember your goodness, for you have been good to me. You can't do that. You can't have that conversation unless you have a relationship. Don't let your prayer life become stale. Don't let your prayer life become a habit because it's just something that you've done. I encourage you to make your prayer life real. That you go to it understanding that you're a son and daughter of the living God, that He has called you into it. Not that we've done anything to make ourselves into that. But He has called you into it and He wants to draw near to you. But we have to take the first step. And a lot of the times we can only do that by being still. Because I think we've lost the art of conversation. We live in a world where there's technology, there's busyness, there's so many things fighting for our time. We've lost the art of being able to just sit and be with someone and allow the world to go by. And that's what God wants with us. He wants us to be able to sit with Him and hear from Him as well. And that's conversation. It's not one way. It's two ways. I know for me, I've been great at thinking I'm doing the right thing by worshipping God, adoring Him, confessing my sins, being thankful, and asking for the things that I need, and ticking the box and stopping there. But if we're to deepen our prayer life, it needs to go beyond that. We need to allow God to speak to us too. We need to allow ourselves to be still enough to hear from God. And that is so hard. It's so hard. The blokes have been, as Michael said, the blokes have had a 21-day time of prayer, fasting and being still. Prayer and fasting was great. Being still, so hard. And all we would give, the challenge was for 10 minutes each day. You can't go, 10 minutes? I can watch TV for 10 minutes. No, like that. 10 minutes being still and not allowing anything else to flood our thoughts. It's like 2 hours. After a minute, you kind of go, is that it? No. I encourage you this week, just be still. This week, don't even worry. For the most part, obviously, if there's things that you need to take to God, take it to Him. But prioritize just being still and allowing God to speak. See what God has to say to you. See what God wants to reveal to you. Because His plans and purposes and the way that He sees you and your life is far greater than we can ever understand or comprehend or see in our finite minds, in our tunnel vision. But allow Him into your conversation. Allow Him into your day. And the other challenge is, don't leave it till the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, we give God what we have left, not what we start the day with. So I encourage you, and I know that can be really hard for some people. Some people do shift work, some people have young kids. Where does God sit in the midst of that? So for me, it's with two young kids, the discipline has been to, or the challenge has been to get up half an hour before I know my kids will be up. Half an hour before I know anyone else is going to need my time. To have 10 minutes, I need to get up. That's just me. Do whatever you need to do to value the time that you have with the Creator of the universe, who wants to be in relationship with you, who doesn't want to be held at arm's length, but who wants to be face to face, wants you all over His face, holding onto His neck with your hands, because to Him, you're His child. Psalm 46, 10 says the following. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And verse 11 says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our God. Sorry, I've gone a little bit over. But I encourage you to allow yourself to see God for who he is. That he's not only the one who created the universe or who sits on the throne, but he wants us in there with him. He wants us to be near to him. So give yourself that opportunity this week and see what God does. See what God reveals to you. See the plans and purposes and the opportunities and the answers to things that you've been trying to work out yourself that God has for you. Thank you for being with us this morning. I'm going to close in prayer and look forward to next week and see how you went with your 10 minutes. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you that you are a loving, gracious, merciful God who is not distant or far, but who desires to be near to us and who has done everything in his power to make it easy for us. That you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to do all the things that we would have had to have done just to be in your presence. Thank you that you sent your Son to do that for us and that we have the privilege of being face to face with you. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just allow our hearts and minds to comprehend just the mind-blowing perplexity of that, so that when we come before you, we know who we're coming in front of. And we know who calls us a son or daughter. So Father, pray that you would create moments and time this week for each of us just to sit with you, be in conversation, and allow the world to pass us by. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And for your glory we pray. Amen. 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 Thanks, everyone. I'll try and recap that first section of it that was missed on the recording and add it to the recording. So there will be a recording from both sessions, and there'll be next week you'll get an outline of stuff that we covered as well. So if you feel like you missed stuff, it's okay. There'll be resources available. So, thank you. I think we're moving back into the...
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.